You are listening to the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast with Aqua Alex. On the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, any and everything tropical fish and aquariums will be discussed. From freshwater to saltwater, cichlids to clownfish, Aqua Alex has you covered. What tropical fish topic is up for discussion today? Let's find out. Aqua Alex, take it away.
Hello, fish keepers. Welcome to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I'm your host, fish keeper Aqua Alex Cardinelli. Today, I'm going to feature another episode from my old retired fish keeping podcast, Aquatic Wetline. Today's episode is going to be my interview I did with Antonio Martina, who is an Oscar cichlid guru, an Oscar cichlid breeder, and a guy that loves Oscars. Oscars are a very popular fish in the aquarium hobby, and they've always brought lots of listens to Aquatic Wetline and my fish keeping podcast. A lot of people love my Oscar cichlid podcast episodes, so I figured I'd choose the best one. This one has over 1,000 listens and made a lot of revenue. An episode I'm very proud of. Antonio Martina is a great guest, and I think you're going to love hearing him talk about Oscars. So if you're thinking about getting an Oscar, if you have an Oscar, or if you want an Oscar, this is going to be a show for you. So let's hear Antonio Martina talk about Oscars right now.
Hello, Oscar lovers, and welcome to the Aquatic Wetline. Today, we've got a fantastic episode coming your way. Thank you so much for being here on the Aquatic Wetline. I want you to sit back, relax, grab a bite to eat, and get your favorite beverage, because we've got a wonderful show for you today. I want you guys to enjoy it. Now, I'm doing my third episode in this series, Oscar Cichlid Keeper's Hour, and I'm very happy to announce that tonight I've got my very first guest on the line with me. We've got a wonderful Oscar lover and Oscar expert on the show with me today. And first, I'll start off by saying I'm your host, Oscar Alex, and I hope you guys are ready to learn about Oscars. Now, tonight, we're going to have a fun discussion on Oscars with our wonderful guest, and he's going to tell us everything you know about Oscars, and then we're going to learn how to breed Oscars. That's right. Our guest tonight has bred Oscars in the past, and he's going to tell us how we can breed Oscars, and then we're going to have a fun Oscar cichlid chat. So this is going to be a show for all you Oscar cichlid keepers out there. You guys are really going to love today's show. And don't forget, you can call in live at 1-347-989-8142 with any questions you have for our guest. That's 1-347-989-8142. We'll be happy to answer your questions. All right, so let's go ahead and welcome in our wonderful guest. You've heard him before on our first two episodes of Oscar Cichlid Keeper's Hour, but he's now a guest on tonight's show. So ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome a keeper of 18 Oscars, an Oscar breeder, and an Oscar expert, in my opinion, Antonio Martina, to the show. How are you doing today, sir?
Very good, Alex. Thank you for having me. Expert, I don't consider myself an expert. In an advanced hobbyist, yeah, I can go with that. I'm still learning about them. Oscars, to me, are my favorite fish. Yes, I do keep other types of fish, and I like them too, but Oscars have always caught my eye. As my first experience with an Oscar, I was probably 8 years old, and my father took me into a pet store, and there was one fish, and it was huge, and it was in the tank all by itself, and I asked the guy what its name was, and he said Oscar, and it stuck with me ever since. And you know, back then the thing was huge. It was as big as my head, and the tank was huge, and all I had at home was a little 5-gallon tank with some minnows that I caught in the creek down the street. And here's this huge tiger Oscars, and I've just been hooked ever since. I've been keeping fish for over 35 years. I've not always had as many tanks as I have right now, but at no point in time have I never had a fish tank. I wish I could say I've never not had an Oscar, but to be fair, an Oscar has to have at least a 75-gallon tank for a single Oscar. If you're going to keep more, you'll have to go bigger, of course. But in my experience as an Oscar keeper, to put more than one Oscar in a 75 is just asking for trouble. It's more work for you, because one Oscar in a 75, you could do your water change once a week. We keep the tank clean. But with two Oscars in a 75, yeah, they'll probably survive, but you're going to be doing water changes 2 to 3 times a week. They're just, as anybody that keeps an Oscar knows, they are messy. They are pigs. They eat a lot, and, well, they poop a lot, too. So, the biggest trick to keeping Oscars happy is your consistent weekly water changes, in my view. I assume you're in the same position, Alex, because I see on your Facebook post that you do your changes, you go do your water changes about once a week, too.
Yes, sir. I usually do them about once, twice, maybe 3 times a week. I actually love doing water changes.
You know, a lot of people, a lot of people say, "Oh, that's a lot of work." No, that's a lot of play. That's not work. You're playing with your pets, and you get to play in the water too. But that, to me, like I said, like I've said, and I'll try to reiterate, that is the single most beneficial thing you can do for your fish is to do a weekly water change to flush the system out. Clean your gravel a little bit as you're doing it. It's just like in the rivers that they live. Fresh water coming in continuously is the best thing for them. And, I have to chuckle to myself because you say that I've bred Oscars. Yes, I have. It took so long for me because I kept trial and error with it to get a mating pair. You have to start with six fish, at least six fish to get them to grow and to pair off. It took me probably 5 years to get a pair out of the first six that I got. And the first four spawns, I got nothing. They would lay the eggs, and either they would eat them or I had left the pleco in there. And, well, plecos and eggs just don't mix. Plecos just love to eat eggs. So I learned the hard way on the one spawn that way. Don't keep a pleco with a mating pair of Oscars. Then the final fifth spawn, I actually pulled the eggs out of the tank on the rock that they were in, put them into a 10-gallon aquarium with tank water and 5 milliliters of hydrogen peroxide, which I had learned from a friend of mine, and put an air stone underneath the rock so that the air bubbles circulated over the eggs, and changed the water, about a third of the water every day for 3 days until those little eggs hatched. And then there was little wigglers. And about 4 days after the wigglers, they started to swim. And the first food that I've been using, and it's worked on almost all my different species, I take freeze-dried bloodworms, and I crush them into a nice fine powder. And for the first week or so, I would put a pinch twice a day, and the babies would eat that. And as they grew stronger, I graduated them up to flake food ground up or pellets ground up and would sprinkle that, and they would eat that. After about a week, I would take a pepper mill, one of the pepper grinders that you can buy at the grocery store, and when they're done, you throw them out. Well, I discovered that you take those apart and you put fish pellets inside that pepper grater, and you grind those fish pellets over the top of the tank, and it grinds it into a little bigger than crushed for the babies, and they would take that food and slowly, gradually work them up to a little smaller, bigger size until they were maybe a third of an inch long. And then I would take frozen bloodworms And while they were frozen, I would take and I would shave them into smaller, so to actually chop the bloodworms up. And they grow phenomenal on bloodworms. For the first month, I would feed them frozen bloodworms twice a day, shaved up, and they just took off from there. Finally, though, I had got a pair now that when they spawn, I can actually leave the eggs in the tank because they're the only two in the 125-gallon tank, and they are good parents. They eggs hatch. Mom fans them and cares for them, and Dad stands guard. And once they become free swimming for about a month or so, I leave them with their mother and father, and they're very good parents still. They'll take the gravel and they'll pick it up in their mouth and they'll spit it, and the little bits of food that are in the gravel will float, and the babies come and get it. So they're actually feeding the babies the food from the gravel. I've seen them when the babies are really hungry and there's not a lot of food, they will actually eat the mucus on the parents. I had heard of Discus doing this, and I was actually surprised that the Oscars will do that too. That is a sign too, though, that you're not feeding enough. So I would increase my food output for them. But after about a month or two, I do take the babies out just so the parents aren't so stressed, and I'll put them into a tank by themselves and grow them for another, probably, I've been selling them at about 5 months old now. You would ask me a question when you give me your questions. Can you make a living off it? And no, not in my area. We've only got two or three local pet stores around here. Yes, I have sold them five or six at a time. But when you've got 300 Oscars, five or six every other week or two doesn't make it. You run out of space really fast. I've heard people say that you can sell them online. I work 40-plus hours a week. I don't have time to do shipping of fish. There are guys that do make a living shipping fish, but I would have to imagine that you would have to have so many tanks and so many fish to make it profitable for yourself that it's just not economically feasible for the average hobbyist like myself or you to do that for a living. You can supplement your fish food that way. I mean, I pay for my fish food sometimes that way, but it's just not economically feasible for me to do such a thing. Another question you had had for me, Alex, was, do you think a beginner should do Oscars? I have to say no, unless, with the stipulation, unless he or she has parents that realize that fish is going to get big. Otherwise, you're just dooming the fish to a death sentence, and nobody wants that. As long as the child has guidance, yeah, a beginner could do an Oscar. The reason I think everybody should own an Oscar is just to see that there are fish that will interact with you, and it teaches you that they're a commitment. Oscars can live. I've had Oscars live for 12 years. My first veil tail, Grungetta was her name, she lived for almost 13 years. I had her for 13 years, and I got her when she was about a 6-inch fish, so she might have been a year old. They can, treated properly, they can live a long time.
That's very true, and Oscars are awesome. I actually like Oscars, too, so you're doing a wonderful job talking about Oscars. But we got our first live caller of the evening, so I'm happy to bring this caller on. You're now live on Oscars, the Good Keeper's Hour. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, how are you guys doing tonight?
Excellent.
Okay, I had a question. You had 18 Oscars, right?
I beg your pardon?
I heard Alex say you had 18 Oscars.
Yes, I have 18 Oscars at the moment.
And I was just wondering, what kind of food do you feed them, and how much food do you go through?
I go through a lot of food. During the winter, I mainly feed Ken's floating pellets. I feed Tetra Jumbo Min sticks, but I also supplement that with frozen popcorn shrimp, the uncooked small shrimp. I like that as a supplement for the wintertime. Chopped frozen tilapia in the winter. Now, spring, summer, and fall, my staple food is worms, earthworms. I collect nightcrawlers just about every other night during the spring and put them into boxes. I have worm boxes that I keep for spring, summer, and fall, and I raise my earthworms. But I truly love earthworms for my fish.
Hey, awesome. Yeah, I've seen your fish room on YouTube. It's amazing. I like the pond with all the Oscars and the red tail in it.
that's my newest toy, yes.
Okay, well, you guys get back to your awesome show. You guys have a good night.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling in, Jeff. I really appreciated your call, so thank you very much. All right, anyone else is welcome to call in at 1-347-989-8142 to ask Antonio a question. And we started off the show with some wonderful information by Antonio, and we're going to continue now. But I actually have a question for you, Antonio. What kind of Oscars are you currently keeping, and what is your favorite species of Oscars?
At the moment, I have the black tiger Oscars. It's the bulk of my population. I have two albino Oscars at the moment, and I also have a red longfin and a tiger longfin. And I have to admit, my favorite out of all the species of Oscars that I've owned is the tiger longfin. They just are the... When they're little bitty ones and they're only about an inch and a half long, they look like little angels floating through the tank. But when they get big, that big veil tail just flowing behind them and the long side fins, they're just so beautiful to me.
I agree with you. I like the veal tail Oscars, but they're very rare up here. I wish I had the opportunity to own one of them.
I had been looking for about a year now, and I couldn't find any, and I finally found one, and I was so excited when I got him, and he's really becoming quite a nice fish. I'm very happy with I'm working on my next breeding project is with those veil tails. I've got the two albinos, the two veil tails, and two tigers in a 75 right now. They're all maximum of 4 inches, and this year I've got them in the 75. This summer, last year I did an experiment. I took my indoor fish outdoors for the summertime, and that was an experience that I would like to try again, and I'm going to take those six fish and put them in the pond for the summer. And then this fall, when I have to bring them in, because I don't know about you, Alex, but it's 2 degrees below zero in Western New York tonight. It's cold. So Oscars would not live outside in this area.
yeah,
I will bring them in. Yeah, unfortunately. We're not like the guys down in Miami that can actually grow them in ponds in their backyards. Ours have to come in for the winter. But, yeah, I will bring those six Oscars in this fall, and I will put them into a 125. And hopefully, maybe next winter, they will have paired off, and I will get the two. That was one of your questions that you had posed to me earlier. How do you sex an Oscar? I can't. I can't do it. The only way I've ever done it is to actually watch the one lay the eggs and the other one come back and fertilize. And then I said, okay, you're the male and you're the female. I have heard tell that some of the guys in the Philippines where they are just breeding Oscars, they're producing more Oscars in the Philippines than they are in South America for the export, is what I have read. I guess some of those guys can actually sex them. I personally can't. I can do it with some of the other fish, the Midas cichlids I own. I was able to do it with a little bit, but I don't know of anybody personally that can sex an Oscar. It's just you have to visually see them laying the eggs or fertilizing the eggs, unfortunately.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad to hear that you're actually able to breed your Oscars a couple times.
Yes, it was always one of my dreams, and I was so happy when it happened.
I know you must have been so proud, because it is kind of hard to breed Oscars, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Nice.
Another question.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
Okay.
I was going to say, let's get back to the veal-tailed Oscars for a second here. Could they actually be kept with regular Oscars?
I'm trying it. I had my Grungette. She was a veil tail, and I kept her with two other tigers, and she was always the boss of the tank. So I'm learning as I go with these two that I've got now. They seem to be they actually are bigger than the other ones, so they're in charge right now.
Awesome. So you can continue. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Oh, no, not a problem. I always welcome a question. Some of the tank mates you asked, I've kept just about everything with the Oscars. The only thing, when you get the bigger male cichlids, such as a big Midas or a big Dovye or a big Jaguar, they seem to bully the Oscar quite a bit. Even though the Oscar's as big, if not a little bigger, some of the other fish will bully the Oscar. I usually don't mix too many tanks. I like to keep my tanks species specific, but on a couple of them, I do have mixed tanks, and the Oscars fit right in. They have no problems. They don't bully too much. The only thing I found is if you try to put something smaller in with them, they like it as lunch. I've made that mistake a couple times. Oh, he's big enough that the Oscars won't bother him. And I put him in the tank, and well, there comes the Oscar and just says, thank you. And there goes your $20 VJ. But it's a learning experience.
Yeah, that's true. I like Oscars because they're actually a pretty mellow cichlid when they're adults. But I actually recognize, and I've actually experienced Oscars being more aggressive as they're juveniles, but they're more docile when they're adults. What's your take on that?
Oh, definitely, without a doubt, they mellow with age. My 220 gallon tank is got 7 full grown Oscars in it, and a lot of people have come in and said, oh, they're not fighting, they're Oscars. I said, no, they're very mellow. They just like to swim and watch and eat. As for aggression, the only time there's really aggression is if two of them do want to breed, and then they'll chase everybody to the other end of the tank and lay their eggs. Other than that, they're very, very peaceful fish as adults. As juveniles, well, they're like any young man. They get a little testosterone in them, and, well, they can take on the world.
Like my two Oscars, they're going after sun cats that are twice their size.
Oh, yes. I'm the big boy on the block now.
I can't believe sun cats are scared of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. Now, what was your favorite tank mate that you had for Oscars?
I think my favorite tank mate for the Oscars, I think the Green Terrors, because they're such a colorful fish. They set the Oscars, the two of them, the colors match really well. The greens and the Green Terrors and the blacks and the Tiger Oscars really go good together. Plus, they're another really not overly aggressive fish. And they get fairly large, too. Not quite as big as the Oscars.
I like
but
Green Terrors, too.
Some of the diseases that I've had to deal with, I pride myself that when I bring people in with fish experience into my fish room, I point out to them, if you look at my fish, I will bet you $100 you will not find one fish of my Oscars, which are truly one of the more susceptible fish to hole in the head disease. I do not have any. I think the best way to treat hole in the head is don't let them get it in the first place. Everything I've read and everything I've dealt with, because I have taken in Oscars from people that couldn't take care of them anymore and they had severe hole in the head disease. The main causes are poor nutrition and poor water quality. Poor nutrition being, I can feed my Oscars goldfish. No, you can't feed your old goldfish to the Oscars. It is not good for them. Asian fish, being the goldfish, are not suitable for Oscars. Being a South American fish, their nutritional value is not there. I read a report one time that said there's vitamin A, I believe, in the goldfish, and there's too much of it, and it damages your Oscar. It damages your Oscar's digestive tract, and it has very poor nutrition. So he's eating empty calories. He's eating a lot of it, but he's getting no nutritional value out of it, and poor water quality, not doing your water changes and not cleaning your filters. To cure it, the way I got it to go away was feed them a balanced nutritional diet, being pellets and good live food, being shrimp, night crawlers, feeder fish such as guppies that I raised or somebody I trust that raised them, or my convict cichlids, my jaguar cichlids, my green terror cichlids all breed quite readily. So I keep those fish and raise them as feeders. So once a week during the winter, I'll throw 10 or 12 smaller 1-inch fish in with the Oscars for feeders. Another man told me at one of the seminars I was at, the live food for your fish should be a not a mainstay, but a supplement, like a treat. Like I go out for pizza and wings once a week or so as a treat. It's not good for me, but it's not going to kill me either. But the live food does add to the digestive tract of the Oscar, being that the enzymes in the fish help its digestive tract. It helps it digest the food and stuff and that nature.
Sounds great. A lot of great information there. Do you mind if you take a quick commercial break? Oscar cichlid keeper Antonio Martina, and he has bred Oscars in the past before. Now, if you have any live questions, go ahead and call in at 1-347-989-8142. We would be happy to answer your Oscar cichlid questions. So go ahead and call in 1-347-989-8142. So now let's continue our conversation on Oscars. And first, I've got a couple of live questions from our listeners who are in the chat room. Is that okay if you want to answer these questions, Antonio?
Works for me.
Sure, okay. So we got a couple of live questions from our chat room. They can't call in tonight because they don't have a cell phone. But we got a couple of questions that they wanted to ask you. So the first question is, what are your thoughts on colored Oscars, or let's say man-made Oscars, such as lemon Oscars, blueberry Oscars, and all of the albino dark red Oscars?
I am not in favor of dyeing any of the fish, as in injecting them with colors to get them to that. As for breeding them to get that color, hey, that's part of the game. It's an Oscar to an Oscar. You're not breeding an Oscar to another species of fish. You're breeding it to another Oscar. I'm all for that. That's how we got half the roses we have in the world right now. That's called selective breeding. That's different than hybridization, whereas you're breeding two different species of fish. But a lot of the ones that I've seen in the Western New York area, like the blueberry ones that you had mentioned, they're actually injecting dye into the fish. And I'm sorry, that's not right. That's, in my view, that's, you know, I want to dye my body blue. That's one thing. I'm not going to do it to a poor, helpless animal. That to me is just wrong.
I agree 100% with you. I definitely agree with that statement.
And there was another question?
Yep, there's a second question, and it comes from one of my friends on Facebook, and he was wondering, can you use RODY water for fresh water, like the RO water?
I'm going to have to claim ignorance on that. I do not know that much about RO water. I don't see why not. It's just another way of filtering your water, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so too. I don't know nothing about that because I'm not
That's something more into this. I think that's a type of filtration system. I'm not sure. I don't see why not. I mean, it would be if it works for salt water, it would probably work for fresh water. But like I've never owned a saltwater tank, so that's new to me.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd probably be a lot more expensive to use that as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we're going to get back into our Oscar discussion now. So anyone else is welcome to ask some live questions. Again, 1-347-989-8142, or go ahead and write in our chat room. So we'd like to continue, Antonio?
Yeah, sure. I'd like to touch on a subject. I know it's not one of my more favorites, but... All right, I had to do it about two nights ago. I had a large Oscar that had had gotten bloat. Her digestive tract was blocked or something, and she started to bloat up. I did the Epsom salts, 2 tablespoons of Epsom salts per 10 gallons of water. I had her in a 75 by herself because she was sick, and I wanted to quarantine her in case it was something that I wasn't sure of, a parasite or something. And she just didn't get better, and she was getting sicker and sicker. And how do you euthanize a fish that's 12 inches long? The method that I've used in the past and will use in the future, a 5-gallon bucket with a cup of salt and 4 gallons of water, mixed real well, put the fish in it, and I put her outside in the freezing cold. After I let her go, the salt acts as a tranquilizer. It calms them down. It lulls them, and then you take them and freeze them. They just go to sleep. It's the most, from what I've read and seen, it's the most painless way to euthanize a fish. It always hurts me to do it, but sometimes you just can't cure. You can't cure them all.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear you lost one of your baby Oscars.
Yeah, it happens. Well, I learned that because we keep koi in our pond. We have a small water garden in our yard that my wife and I keep, and one of her big koi got sick and was dying, and she was having very hard time with it, so I took it and I put it into a bucket and put it in the freezer, and from what I've read and seen, it's the most painless way to euthanize a fish. Because you don't want them to suffer. To just let them sit in the tank and die, that to me is wrong. It's if you can stop their suffering, do it.
I agree with you 100%. And we've actually got another question from our chat room. And the person is wondering, have you ever had a Oscar that was over 12 inches?
I've got four of them right now that are 15 inches long. In my 220-gallon tank, there are five Oscars that are all over a foot, but the three of them are well over 15 inches.
Awesome, that's great. And there's another question regarding the euthanization of fish, or whatever you call it.
Euthanize,
there you go. Sorry, I can't pronounce that word for some reason.
That's okay.
Want to know, have you ever used the Alka-Seltzer method?
No. I've never heard that one.
Me either. It's brand new to me.
I'll have to look into that. Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah, I guess it helps with the euthanize too.
Okay, kind of like the salt anesthetizing them, puts them to sleep, and then they just don't get up.
That's true. I think it's very hard to euthanize a fish, but sometimes it has to be done, and I agree with you, it has to be done humanely.
Yes. It's just like a dog or a cat that gets hit by a car. I mean, if you can't save it, why let it suffer? Take it to the vet and have them give it the shot and put it down. I would hope somebody would do the same for me, I guess.
Nice. That's very, very true. Now, I actually do have another question for you. I know this is a question that gets brought up a lot, and sometimes not even a question, a statement that gets brought up a lot on some of the forums that I'm on, and this is actually people buying Oscars and not being able to keep them and not realizing they get big. But could you please stress the fact that big Oscars are hard to rehome?
Oh.
If you want to keep an Oscar, you have to understand it's a commitment and they need a big tank.
I look at Craigslist a lot, and it just hurts me to see people constantly rehoming these big Oscars, because they do. In the first year, they will grow up to, you know, a half an inch a month, and in a year's time, you've got a 7-8 inch fish and in a 55-gallon tank, and with trying to keep it with other fish, well, they're going to get rid of that. Not everybody's like me and has big tanks and wants those fish. And I think it should be part of the pet stores and the fish stores obligation that when they're selling these fish, that they should tell the people, you know, these are, you know, warn them that they are going to get big, and, you know, don't let them buy them if they don't have the tanks and the time and equipment to take care of them. But yeah, it is hard. It is very hard to find homes for Oscars. I've taken in quite a few. There's not a lot of people out there like us that really go out of their way for them. But that's something that should be stressed, that it's a commitment for a long time. Number one, and it's a commitment for a larger tank, because, so like we've said, you and I both agree, one for a 75, two for a 125, although I have kept four in a 125 for a short period of time, but two in a 125 is a perfect breeding pair tank. 125s, 150s, 180s, 220s. The more water volume, the more fish you can have in it. When I first started getting into aquariums, it was always a rule of thumb, 1 inch of fish per gallon of water. But that goes out the window when you've got large fish because of the massive amounts of bio waste from the bigger fish.
That's very true. And speaking of bigger fish, Oscars get big, and I know we pointed to this at the early point of the show. A lot of water changes are required with Oscars, right?
Yes, weekly. That is the biggest benefit you can give your fish is clean water and good food. And clean water being water changes every week, 20% to 30%. And then good food, like the Hikari floating gold, the Hikari gold, any floating fish food. I like floating because I feed all my tanks. I have 22 tanks, and I feed them all. I take care of a few things, and then I come back through. And if there's any pellets still floating, out they come. I don't leave food in the tanks because that promotes poor water quality. But it's that clean water and good food, and your Oscar will love you for many, many years. And they will love you. They know who you are. Don't ever think they don't either. I have my first funny story. When I first got married over 25 years ago, I had a large Oscar that literally hated my wife. She would walk into the room, and that fish would splash her. Needless to say, that Oscar did not have... I was lucky to find a good home for him because it was either him or my wife, and, well, I love my wife, too, so I had to keep her.
I would have said I'll keep the Oscar.
No. I have a grandchild now, so I'm very happy I kept my wife.
That's awesome. Congratulations on having a grandchild.
Awesome.
Nice.
And
so
we got any more callers?
Not yet, but I'm going to remind our callers that you can go ahead and call in at 1-347-989-8142. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
No, I thank you very much, and I really hope to meet you if I can make it up to the American Cichlid Association show in your hometown in the end of July. It's July 30th, the weekend of July 30th. Anybody in the Massachusetts area there, one of the best cichlid shows that you'll ever see will be in your city this year. If you get the chance, go see it.
I'm definitely going to be there, and hopefully I'll see you there. I want to meet you in person because you're a real honor of mine to meet you, and you're one of my mentors in Oscar, so it'll be an honor for me.
Thank you very much, Alex.
You're welcome, and thank you for agreeing to come on the show tonight. We'll have to get you on again sometime.
Not a problem. I'll listen to you. I listen to you every week.
Awesome. I appreciate that. You do a fantastic job, and you got the perfect radio voice, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. I'll have to try that out again.
Awesome. I'd love to have you on the Aquatic Wetline again because you're great.
All right. Thank you very much, Alex.